Lord, we're at the best place where we could ever be, Lord. Lord, we just want to say to you this morning that, God, we don't want to be anywhere else, Lord. Lord, this is just the best place we can ever be, God. Nothing else compares to your presence, Lord. Nothing else matters, Lord, when we're in your presence, God. We thank you this morning for a place of trust, Lord. Place of knowing, Lord, a place of understanding, God. Thank you this morning that, Lord, we can move from knowing about you, Lord, to knowing you. We thank you for your word this morning, Lord. Lord, we are expectant, God. We declare our hearts expectant this morning for what you want to do, Lord. We thank you for what you've started this weekend. We thank you this morning, God, that you want to continue the great work, Lord, that you're busy doing in our lives. We recognize, Lord, that it's not us that is working in our lives, Lord. You are working, Lord. You are moving. We just want to go with where you're going, Lord. We want to be obedient to what you're doing in our lives. And we want to have a greater hunger for you at this time, Lord. In Jesus' name, we bless you. We thank you for the privilege of speaking your word in public, Lord. We thank you for the privilege of hearing your word. This morning, Lord, we just open our hearts, Lord. Come and change us this morning, Lord. Come and conform us into the image of Christ this morning. We honor you, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Thank you that you're here. We bow the knee to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody says, isn't the Lord amazing? Hallelujah. God is so good. God loves us so much. Who's had a great camp? Welcome to those who are joining us this morning for the first time, but I trust that you will experience a little bit of the community that God has established in our midst. Amen. Trust that you're expectant this morning. Anyone know what's going to happen in September of this year? There's lots of opinions out there, but I was sent an interesting message this week by someone. I won't mention any names, but just a message, and maybe some of you have been hearing about this. But it's a ministry. This ministry. The link to the message was here to a ministry on Facebook. But it just talks about this anticipation around the world. I just want to read it. It says, there seems to be an anticipation around the world that something big is going to happen in September this year. If ever there had been an expectation for something to happen, September 2015 is one period in history that seems to draw anticipation from all walks of life. What makes the September convergence even more significant is the fact that references to this period comes from a variety of sources, including governments around the world, those who are involved with the occult snippets or hints found hidden in the mainstream media, and from prophecies in the Bible, to name a few. There are also important events scheduled to occur during this time, such as the Pope addressing the U.S. Congress on September the 23rd with an announcement that will be made, and the U.N. General Assembly spanning the period from September 15 to September 28. There are also massive military operations like Jade Helm in the U.S. and others around the world where information is withheld from the public, but it is clear that something big is going on in anticipation of something that will happen later this year. Jade Helm in the U.S. starts on July the 15th and is said to end on September the 15th. And then he just goes on to say that there's so many signs. It seems like there's so many signs that something is going to happen. And it's almost like when I read this, it was so interesting, but it can easily create a fear in us. It can easily create uncertainty. It can easily create sort of like, let's get ready for the second coming of Jesus because it's going to happen in September or something like that. Or there's going to be a massive war again and the world is just going to come to an end. And so when I was reading this, and I'm not against this, and I'm not for this, I don't want to make any comments, and I don't know the ministry, you know, so I cannot make any comments. But it's just interesting what's going on in the world today. It's interesting what we are bombarded with every day on the media and just throughout our lives. There's just stuff going on that we have to almost make a call. How are we going to react to this? How are we going to react to what is said and what is felt around the world? And so this morning I want to talk about, the title of my sermon is called Living by Revelation, because I'm just realizing more and more, and in this fast, I just had such a great time with the Lord, and I really experienced just God calling all of us closer, and it's just confirmed every time we worship, every time we get together to pray, God is just saying, seek my face, seek my face. But you see, I believe it doesn't only help to just seek God's face, it's more important that we hear what God is saying right now, amen. Because there's so much doubt, there's so much uncertainty, there's so many Christians being shaken around at this time. Isn't it so? Just look around you. Open your eyes. If you don't see it, then I want to ask you, just you don't even have to be spiritual to see that there's a shaking going on around the world. And yeah, in Proverbs 29, it talks about an interesting concept. It says that where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint, but happy is he who keeps the law. And then the Message Bible says it even better, or sort of clarifies it. It says that if people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. Love what the Message says. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Any one of us want to be most blessed? Yeah? Then we must attend to what God is revealing. Amen. See, I believe it's becoming more and more crucial that we live by the revelation of God. What he is saying through his word and through his spirit. And as I said, in this time of fast, I feel like I got saved again, because I feel like I just really had the, and sometimes we have to do radical things because life carries on, you know, and we always intentional. We say, yes, we want to get to God and we know it's important, and but sometimes we need to just cut off something, whether it's food or whatever, for a couple of days and take time to really get to God from our busy schedules. To say, God, what are you saying to me? It's interesting, I see some people every week, a discipleship group, and I ask them three questions. I say to them, the Lord just gave me this. I said to them, first of all, you must go and write down, what is, who are you? So the first thing I say to them, take a clean page and say, who are you? Then you're going to ask God to show you who you are. And then secondly, what is your purpose? And then lastly, what is God saying to you right now? Because we can know who we are and we can know our purpose, but what about the now? What is God saying to me right now? So maybe it's a good exercise for all of us to do that. You see, because there's no longer a separation between traditional Christians and charismatic Christians, eh? Sometimes we as even as shofar and as spirit-filled believers, we kind of feel very much like any other church. Eh? Well, what makes us really different? And obviously we know it's the Holy Spirit, but many times we say we're spirit-filled, but you know, are we really different from any other church? And I believe the separation no longer is whether you're charismatic or traditional or which denomination you belong to or whatever. That's no longer the question. The question is, are you living by the revelation of God or not? Because you can be a spiritual Christian, you can be just as religious. I mean, let's be honest with ourselves, yeah. Are we really living by what God is saying and by the revelation of God? And that's what I believe the separation now is between those who live by revelation and those who simply go through the motions. And I believe that if we don't live by revelation, and I'm challenging myself with this because I haven't got this right by any means. It's just something that God is showing me. If we don't live by the revelation of God, we're going to die spiritually. That's what it says. It says people who don't know what God is saying, if we don't have that revelation, we run wild. Another translation says people run wild. You're going to die. You're not going to know what God is doing. And so I want to look at a little piece of scripture in Isaiah chapter 6, the calling of one of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament. Just want to look at that and just trust the Lord that today you will be stirred and have a desire to really live by the revelation of God. Okay, and I know I'm challenging us this morning because I really believe God is starting to call us closer to Himself. And He's saying, as you grow closer, as you come closer to Me, I want to speak to you. I want to tell you certain things, very specific things. So let's look at Isaiah chapter 6. One of my favorite portions of Scripture where Isaiah receives his calling. Obviously, we know he's one of the greatest prophets. And if you know the book of Isaiah, it basically sums up the Bible. It's the Bible in one book. Because the first 39 chapters talk about the Old Testament and the last 29 chapters talk about the, or 27 chapters talk about the New Testament. But is Isaiah, let's just look at his calling. And so, yeah, in Isaiah chapter 6, sorry, from verse 1 to 4, let's read together. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. And the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory." And the post of the door was shaken by the voice of him who cried out. And the house was filled with smoke. So let's just look at these first four verses to start off with, because I believe this is crucial. Isaiah saw the Lord. Amen. You can underline that in your Bible or highlight. Isaiah saw the Lord. He was sitting in the temple. He had a desire for God. He was worshiping the Lord. He knew the Lord. He spent time in the temple. And yeah, he had a revelation. He had a vision of God. And so it actually says that he saw. And it's important that you say, that you focus on that word. He saw. He saw the Lord. He had an incredible revelation of who God was, and who God is. And then he also saw these angels, the seraphim, burning ones. The seraphim talks about burning ones. Angels on fire. He saw them flying around and he had this experience of having to close his ears, I guess, because he heard them shouting, okay? Now when we read this, we think, holy, 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 you know? They were shouting, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. They were shouting, and so his ears were like, I cannot ignore this. This is who God is. He is holy. So two things that he saw. First of all, two things that he heard. He heard that God was a holy God. Three times the angel said it. So he was pretty convinced God must be holy. He had an incredible revelation of the holiness of God. It wasn't at all about him. Suddenly he faded into the background because God was holy. And the second thing he heard was, the whole earth is full of the glory of God. And I want to ask you this morning, what is your revelation of God at the moment? Have you asked God to reveal Himself to you? Have you asked God, God, I want to see You for who You really are. I don't just want to know about You. I don't just want to read Your Word and just carry on. I want to know who You are, God. You see, God is in total control of the whole earth. Isn't that awesome to know? We need a revelation that God's glory is filling the earth, because we see evil, we see lots of bad stuff, we see terrible things happening. But you know what we need to know? And this is what Isaiah knew, that God is in control. God is filling the earth with His glory. Sometimes we just need to go out, and that's why a camp is so amazing. A camp like this is you just get to sit and you just look at a little bit of nature. You know, some of us haven't got nice, you know, we don't have mountains around, and especially in Bloemfontein, we don't even have gardens. So we just see people and buildings, and, you know, and then we see sin, and we see, you know, it's just, the world is a mess. But we need to get out into nature. Go into a mountain, just go into the fluctus of the Free State if you have to, okay? Because there God's glory is as well. Praise the Here, huh? It's working in Free State. He lives here. His presence is here. Even though it looks barren and deserted, God's glory is all over the earth. So we need to just get out and see who God is, and forget about our circumstances, forget about ourselves, and say, God, I want to see who You are. I want to see Your holiness. I want to see Your glory. You see this revelation that this angel had, because this wasn't God speaking. God didn't say to Isaiah, I am holy. God was just there. Isn't that amazing? But the angels were like, they couldn't sit still. They were so on fire because when you're around God, you know, you become on fire. Amen. And they were just shouting, and their shouts were shaking the doorpost. Their shouts were causing the shaking and causing the smoke and just causing incredible stuff to happen in this vision that Isaiah saw. Because when God doesn't have to say anything. God is just there, and when he's there and you start to see him and those around him start to see him, you will know that God is there. This morning, that's why we can sing like we sing. That's why we can worship like we can worship. Some of us worship from a pure heart. Others just sing, but that's fine. But where God is, there will be a noise. Amen. Because he's so amazing. He's so awesome. I want you to think back to your first revelation of God. When you first got saved, when you first gave your life to the Lord, what did you see? What did you experience? Why did you give your life to the Lord? Was it out of fear that you're going to not make it? Or was it because of God, you must come and help me with my plans and my stuff? So Lord, I just want you to come and climb in my boat because I'm going somewhere. And Lord, I know you're great, so you better come and help me to be great. Or what was your revelation of God? What did you see when you gave your life to him the first time? And sometimes we have to think back. And I'm so glad what we did this weekend. We shared testimonies with one another. And we shared what you know, how we got saved. Because we need to remember that. We need to remember where God has brought us from. Which is actually getting to my next point. But how big is God to you now? Because it doesn't help we have the same revelation. If we've grown and we say we've grown in the Lord, then surely our revelation of when we got saved and now should not be the same thing. We should have a greater revelation of God. Amen. Then Isaiah goes on and he writes the following. He's had this incredible revelation of God, and he's seen how awesome God is. He's seen how amazing he is. And then he writes here, he says, "So I said, woe is me, for I'm undone." That is the response when we see the revelation of God. It's not, yeah, I am so great. I'm so great to see this amazing thing of God. I'm so great to be able to see God. I've got this gift of prophecy. I'm so awesome. I've seen God, people. Listen to me. The first thing when you see God is, woe is me. I'm undone. There's nothing good in me. And I remember when I got saved, that is the revelation that got me saved. Because I thought I was a good person. Honestly, I wasn't doing bad, massively bad stuff. Like, there was no bad fruit out of my life, except that obviously, here and there, I would, you know, say the odd bad word, I suppose. But, you know, I don't know. I would throw tantrums, and I was a difficult kid. I know I was. So I was actually a massive sinner. I just didn't see it. When I look at my son now, I can just see myself in my son. I think, God, I've got awesome parents. They stuck it out with me. I was difficult. I remember my mom and dad used to say, "Why are you so difficult now?" You know. So I was actually a sinner, but I just never saw it. I thought I was a good person. We used to go to church on the odd occasion, weddings and funerals, you know. But I mean, we kind of grew up in traditional church, and so we thought God is there. It's fine, you know. We're fine with God. But what hit me when I read the scripture that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. You're not a good person. You're a sinner. Even though you think you're so good and your good works are going to save you. I realize that I'm not good. I'm a man of unclean lips and I dwell amidst the people of unclean lips. The only way you can see that is when your eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. But you see, I don't believe we need to limit this to our salvation or when we got saved for the first time. I believe we need to walk in this continually to realize when we start to see God, we have a revelation of who we really are. The more I walk with God, the more I realize, you know what, I so fall short of His glory, but praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We'll get to that now. See, Isaiah had this revelation that he was sinful because he was born in sin and he lived amongst people who are sinners. And we do not need to get shaken by sinners around us because we come from a people who are sin. Everyone sins. So don't get shaken by sin around you as long as you know that you're also a sinner and that you need a Savior. Amen. And I believe if we lose this revelation of ourselves, then we're going to be lukewarm. We're not going to see how far God has taken us and where God has taken us from if we don't have this revelation. So let's keep reminding ourselves of where we've come from. Let's ask God to remind ourselves of who we really are compared to His greatness. A revelation of God and then a revelation of your own self. And so Isaiah's in this place and he's realizing, whoa, he's seen the king. He doesn't know what to do now. This is like pause moment, you know. Now what now? Praise the Lord, that pause moment doesn't stop forever. You're caught in this like, okay, God, you there, I'm here. What now, God? And then Isaiah has this experience. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. Some commentators say that he actually had this experience. It was like a real experience. His lips were burnt and his mouth was burnt. I don't know exactly. Maybe we'll never know. But whether it was physical or spiritual, it changed his life. Isaiah's life was never the same again. Because not only was his mouth touched, but his whole being was touched. And the angel said to him, listen here, God wants to touch you now. Because that's the only way you're going to be cleansed. It's the only way your sin is going to be purged. It's when you have a touch from the Lord. You see, there was this heaven meets earth moment right here in Isaiah's life where heaven comes down to touch him. An angel coming to touch a man. An incredible transaction, an incredible encounter happened right here. And the angel said, listen, all your iniquity, all your shame, all your guilt, all your condemnation has been taken away. You know, the word purge means like it will never come back. It's removed as far as the east is from the west. It cannot meet again. It's been taken away. And the greatest heaven meets earth moment happened on the cross of Calvary. So this morning, I'm trusting that all of us have a revelation again of just what happened on the cross, what Jesus did for all of us. The Lord showed me, and I mentioned it on Wednesday night, but the Lord showed me that, you know, there's so much shame still, there's so much guilt, there's so much, people are walking in condemnation because we don't have a revelation of the cross. But often it comes from a place where we don't have a revelation of God and we don't have a revelation of ourselves. So we, you know, the cross is just sort of there and the gospel is just there. It's like part of our lives. But yet you have to understand the massive bridge that happened. And that's why the cross will become so real for you if you realize who God is and you realize who you are, because then you realize there's a massive gap. It's not just a little, let's just jump over this little stream here. There's a massive divide between you and God. Amen. But Christ came to take all our guilt away, all our shame away, all our condemnation away, all our fears away. That's what He came to do. And we need to realize and have a revelation just like Isaiah, where he realized, you know what? This is massive. Revelation of the cross of Christ for each one of us. And yeah, Isaiah gets to this place and now it's like another moment, you know, like, so his sin is purged and he realizes, okay, he's free, he's clean, it's amazing, this is incredible, but what now? And then suddenly, again, he hears. So first he sees and now he hears. He's having this incredible experience because he's hearing and he's seeing. He's having revelation upon revelation. And it's interesting, he writes, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying. And if you read this, he didn't speak directly to Isaiah. He's just saying something. So the angels have ministered and he experiences God's touch on his life. He realizes this is heaven meeting earth. This is God meeting a man. But then he hears this voice, God sitting there and saying, you almost sort of get this picture of God just casually sort of saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? See, he didn't only see the Father. He didn't only see Jesus. He didn't only have an experience with the Spirit. He had an experience with the Trinity. He saw the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then he heard him, the Trinity, all three of them, because it says, who will go for us? He heard the God, the Godhead saying, I need someone. And it's not like he said, Isaiah, just because I've touched you now, you must go. Because that is how God is. You see, God gives us this opportunity and he says, you know, I want someone to go for me. It's amazing when you realize Isaiah had to go and preach to a people who were hard. In fact, the more he preached, the harder they became. And he's like, if you read the next two verses, he's saying, God, how long? How long? He was called to go and preach, and all his life, it was just resistance and rejection, and people's hearts just became hard. And God said, you know what? I'm in control. I'm going to wipe away everything, and then there's going to be a remnant. A tenth will remain to fulfill my purposes. But Isaiah, I've called you to preach. And so and it must have been the most difficult thing because he realized, oh, he said yes to something that, whew, this is not going to be glamorous. It's not going to be, you know, easy. But Isaiah understood the power of leaving an eternal legacy, because what a blessing that Isaiah did go, because now we've got the book of Isaiah. And many scriptures are quoted in the New Testament, quotes many scriptures out of Isaiah. Jesus quoted him, Paul, all the writers of the New Testament quoted incredible stuff out of Isaiah. He understood that he's not doing this just to get a response. He's not doing this because it feels good. He's not doing this because it's always nice and easy. He's doing this because God has asked him and God is needing someone. So I believe the last revelation that Isaiah had, apart from his revelation of the greatness of God and his own self and the incredible divide that was bridged by God between him and God, he had a revelation of the calling. You see, twice in the book of Matthew, Jesus uses the phrase, many are called, but few are chosen. And this is sort of what I want to get to this morning, but I believe it starts with the revelation of God. It starts with the revelation of ourselves and how God has come, Jesus has come to die for us on the cross, the gospel. But it ends where God gives us the opportunity and God gives us the choice. And many are called, but few are chosen. I believe it means that many people, in fact, all are called, all Christians are called. Okay, and I know this mainly refers to the fact that, you know, God calls all people and some people make the choice to become Christians. But I believe we can apply this to Christians as well. Many Christians are called, but few are chosen. And God saves lots of people. God saves incredible amounts of people, but not everyone chooses to be used by God. Isn't that so? Not everyone chooses to say, God, here I am. Please, Lord, send me. So the question I want to ask is, why is it that some people are used mightily by God? Why is it that some people seem to change the world and others don't? I'm talking now about Christians. Others just seem to survive. So some Christians choose to surrender and they are used by God, and other people just seem to be happy with the fact that they just called Christians. We're born again, so we're okay. But I believe it has to do with the degree of revelation that people receive. The degree of revelation that you're willing to tap into and say, God, I want to see you. I want to see myself. I want to see this incredible gospel, this bridge that Christ came to do between me and you, God. And then out of that place, Lord, I want to see what you've called me to do. And you give me the opportunity, Lord, to put up my hand. You don't tell me I have to do this. Because God showed me this week when I was preparing this sermon. He just showed me that, you know, he doesn't save you and then you must do this for him. Amen. He doesn't save you and then, and I've put pressure on myself for this as well. God is setting me free of this. He doesn't save me and now you've got to do stuff for me. You've got to perform. You've got to, you know, you're saved, so you have this responsibility. So I almost want to say you don't have a responsibility, because yeah, he spoke to Isaiah. He says, Isaiah, I've touched your lips. But then he didn't say, Isaiah, are you listening? I want to use you. Hello, respond now. He just said, who will go? And so it's always a choice. Many are called, few are chosen, few choose to live by that revelation and to walk in that revelation. Further on in the, somewhere in Luke, it says that, you know, to whom much has been given, much will be required. To him whom much is given, from him much will be required. And once again, I don't believe it's like, oh, you've been given a lot, you better give back to God. But if you look at some people's testimonies, if you look at these incredible, some of these pastors and ministers who are in the full-time ministry, and not even people in the full-time ministry, just people that are changing the world, you hear their testimony and you realize, sure, they've got lots to be thankful for. Because they were messed up and whatever, their life was really like going down and God is using them. And so many times for us, we just need, and it's not about how far you've backslidden or how far you were from God and God saved you. I just believe it's about revelation. But I think some people who've had a radical testimony, all of us have actually got radical testimonies because Jesus is good. I mean, it's not about us and how bad we were, because then it becomes about us again. But sometimes someone who's really been messed up and who's been hard against God, like the Apostle Paul, just for, when they get saved, it just seems so much more real to them because they realize where they were. And so they go full out for God. They're so in love with God. But it's all about a revelation of what God really did for you. Amen. So all of us, if we've been saved, we must realize we've got a radical testimony. And God is still giving us the opportunity to say, who will go for me? Who will go for us? My last scripture this morning, Isaiah chapter 11. Seems like it's the book of Isaiah this morning. A great example of someone living in the revelation of God. The perfect example. Because it says here that there shall come forth a rod. So Isaiah's busy writing his prophecy now, and he said, there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Talking ultimately about the Savior here, and saying, the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and revelation and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Which can all be almost summed up in this whole thing of revelation. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding. This is what Jesus walked in. He lived and walked in the Spirit of his Father. And that's why he had wisdom. He had understanding. He had counsel. He had might. He had knowledge. And he had the fear of the Lord. And then it says that his delight was in the fear of the Lord. His delight was in pleasing God. And then it says an incredible thing. I just love this. He shall not judge by the sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. How many times do we judge by the sight of our eyes? We judge and we react and we live by what is happening and what we see. Or we get emotional about what we hear. You know, we hear stuff, and so what do? We start to make decisions and we calculate things. But Jesus did not judge or act upon what he saw. He did not act upon what he did not decide by what he heard. He simply lived by the revelation of God. What God was saying in that situation. So I believe we can all apply it to our own lives right now. The great thing is you can leave this camp now and you can drive back. And there's an opportunity for you if you're on your own or with people. Doesn't matter. Obviously if you're with people and everyone's talking, it's a bit difficult. But maybe you're on your own here, whatever. Drive back. Wherever you're driving in your car, wherever you're walking to class every day, you can ask God, God, what are you saying now about my day? Lord, here I am this morning. I'm waking up. Lord, what are you saying? I'm not gonna choose not to react by what I hear or what I see, Lord. I want to live by what you're saying. And I just realized again when Matthew talks about man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, it's referring to this. It's not just quoting scripture and knowing the word of God, but Lord, how does this word apply to me right now for my situation? Amen. It's simple, guys. We make it complicated, but it's so simple. But God is showing us that he wants us to live by his applied word. That's knowledge, understanding, and ultimately wisdom. Knowledge rightly applied. That's what wisdom is. And the greatest news for us today is if we've given our lives to Christ, if if Christ has become real in our lives, He says, you know what? I've sent you my presence. I've sent you the Emmanuel, the God with you now. I was the Emmanuel when I walked on this earth, but I've gone to heaven and I want to send you the Emmanuel. And He's not going to be at a physical place or time. That's why I had to go away, Jesus said. I had to leave so that I can give you my presence, who's omnipotent and omnipresent. He's all over all the time. My Holy Spirit. But you see, so many times we say we're Spirit-filled and we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, but are we continually living in the revelation of the Spirit every day? So I want to say this morning that God is calling each one of us to live in that revelation. He's calling us to live, first of all, in a revelation of Him and His greatness. Because if we don't have that, it doesn't matter. You know, the revelation of ourselves will not... We can't measure it because it's all relative. But when we have a revelation of God, it all starts by the revelation of who God is and His greatness and His glory and His holiness that is all over the earth. But then we need to constantly have a reminder of who we are and that, you know, I'm called as a pastor and many times I can think I'm great, but I just realize, you know what? I miss it so many times. We've been in Bloemfontein for 4 years now, and I'm thinking back a lot to these last 4 years, and I realize I made so many mistakes. Realized I did so many things wrong. Which if I think back, I would have done it differently, but praise the Lord for His grace. Amen. Praise the Lord that the Shofar Bloemfontein is growing from glory to glory. But then I'm humbled and I say, God, thank you. You know, I just surrender more to you, Lord. I give over more. Give over more and more control. Then He wants to have us live in a revelation of the gospel and how he's saved us and how our sin has been taken away. And I want to say to some people here this morning, you need to understand your sin has been dealt with. God has dealt with your sin on the cross, your shame, your guilt, your frustrations, your fears, whatever, your lack of, like Yohani said, you know, you cannot, that veil has been torn, but there's still a veil. I want to say in Jesus' name, let that veil go. But you have the power to do it. You need to choose to walk through that veil because Christ has torn the veil. The veil is just in your mind. Amen. You're making it up. And so you build these barriers in front of you and God. Many of us do that. And we build barriers even in front of, between us and God's people. And that's why God says, you know, if you don't love people, then you can't say you love me because you need to love people. So your love for me is actually measured by your love for people. My love for God is measured by my love for my wife. It's a good, how do I treat my wife? And how do I treat other people? Do I really love them? Because that's a reflection of my love for God. We need to have a revelation of the cross again. But then we also need to have a revelation of the calling that is set before us. It's a volunteering thing. It's a thing of, Lord, I want to do this. Amen. So many of us have said yes to God because, oh, we have to do this because there's pressure or whatever. And I want to say, let's stop that in Jesus' name because that's not the heart of God. God did not force Isaiah to do anything, but Isaiah became one of the greatest prophets because he just said yes to God. And he wrote revelation upon revelation upon revelation because he said yes to God and he spent time with God and he heard from God. And yes, I'm sure at times he wanted to run away. But I believe he came back to this encounter. That's why he wrote it down, because it was like a reminder for himself as well. That this is where God has taken me from. This is who I am in Christ. Obviously not him then, but for us, I'm taking it back to us. This is who we are in Christ. Remember your salvation, but remember where God took you from, but walk continually in that. Have another encounter with God again, and another encounter, and another encounter that you can, oh God, you are so great, sorry. I thought I was great, but Lord, I'm not. But thank you for the calling. Thank you that, Lord, I said yes to you, and I'm still going to say yes to you. I'm not going to run away. I'm going to continue to live for you and to worship you because it's a choice you give me, Lord. Because I can run away. You're not going to condemn me. So long as you don't run away from God, because then judgment will come. Then there's no choice. At the end, there's no choice. Then everyone will be judged. God will judge us. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. There's no choice there. But there's still a choice now to follow Jesus with everything. Amen. There's still a choice to say, Lord, I want to live for you. And I believe if you start with the small things, God is going to do great things through you. If you start with just being faithful to to love people and to pray for people and to faithfully just be obedient to God, you know what? He's going to start entrusting you with more. And maybe not all of us are called to be a prophet like Isaiah or to do great things, to have your name written somewhere where people can see it. But it's not about that. It's just about saying, yes, God, I want to go for you. So I want to ask you this morning, will you follow the example of Isaiah? By just saying, Lord, I realize where I've come from. I realize where you're taking me. And Lord, here I am. Send me. Why do I ask you that? Because I believe your life depends upon it. And there's so many other people's lives that depend upon it. Your revelation, the revelation that God wants to give you this morning and in the times to come, is your spiritual life depends upon that revelation. But it starts with who God is in your life. That encounter with Him. And some of us had it this weekend. Some of us had that experience on the camp. God is just starting something, and I believe He wants to continue with you. It's not just about a Sunday morning or a few sessions we have on the camp. It's about a lifestyle of living with God. A lifestyle of living in the revelation that He has for each one of us. So I want us to close our eyes now as the band comes forward again. Because I really believe this morning the Lord wants to touch people. It's so significant that Isaiah was touched in his mouth. Because I remember when I was before we pray, I remember when one thing I remember clearly, when Jesus came to touch me. When He saved me when I was 15 years old, you know, I could not after that. Everyone at school was swearing. Everyone at school was saying the F word, you know, the F word and the S word. They were like part of your vocabulary as a high school boy. And I just could not say those words. I used to say flip, 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 you know, instead of the other F word. And I used to be teased for it. I was like ripped off to pieces because flip, man, flip, 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 you know. Sometimes I'd get so angry, but I couldn't say the F word. I couldn't say that other F word or the S word. And I realized after this, God really cleansed my mouth. God put a guard in front of my mouth. And I realize now why He did it, because He's calling me to preach the gospel. He's calling me to be a witness for Him. So just like Isaiah, He came to cleanse my mouth. He came to touch me literally on my mouth. It was because I didn't have any goosebumps. I didn't have any other weird experiences of falling over or, you know, praying in the spirit or anything like that. I knew I was saved, but one thing I could see, there was fruit of my mouth. I was different to everyone else. God changed me. And I realize now that He wants to cleanse all of our mouths. He wants to purge us. He wants to touch us wherever. And it could be whatever your weakness is. He wants to touch you. Whatever it is that you're, and it's to do with your calling often. All of us obviously have to witness. Not all of us are necessarily going to preach in front of people and be pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets and apostles. But all of us have been called by God to make a difference. Amen. All of us have been called to change the world. Once again, it's a choice. But maybe this morning you need to be touched by God somewhere. Maybe it's in your mind. Maybe it's in your thoughts. Maybe it's just in some area of your life. God wants to touch you this morning. So my faith is for you to respond to God's touch on your life this morning. Let's all pray. Father, I just want to thank You this morning, Lord, that You have set up this incredible appointment for many of us this morning, Lord. God, I want to thank You for revelation upon revelation right now. Thank You for this weekend, Lord. I know that You've given people incredible revelations, Lord. But Lord, somehow they haven't maybe been able to put them together. But this morning, Lord, You have come to show them. You have come to clarify just that which You have already been saying to them. Lord, and some people even this morning right now is a new revelation, Lord. And the cross is just so real to us. The divide that has been bridged between us and You, Lord, is so incredible. And Lord, this morning as we worship, Lord, as we sing to You and as we glorify You, it's just so freeing again to realize, Lord, You've paid for this. You've made this possible, God. Because we do not deserve to walk into church and to just almost feel like it's our right to be here. We don't deserve it, Lord. In our own strength. But Lord, this morning we realize the grace, God. That whenever we get together and whenever the saints gather, Lord, it's Your grace, Lord. It's because of what You have done and nothing to do with us.